personally, my experience is that I treat lead like a four-letter word. I don't want a lead from an ad. I want somebody that knows me, likes me, trusts me to recommend me to somebody else that knows, likes, and trusts them.
Welcome to Give a Heck. I am your host, Dwight Heck, and for much of my life, lived my life in quiet desperation, wondering how I was going to pay the bills, take vacations, save for retirement, and one day wondering if I would get off the hamster wheel of life and have purpose. A life that most of society lives, which takes us to work, then home, then repeat, and pays us hopefully enough just to survive. The harsh truth that most live with more month than money and have no idea how to live life on purpose, not by accident. This ensures the mass majority are living not just financially broke, however emotionally and mentally as well due to financial pressures. In each episode, I will introduce you to thoughts, ideas, and guests that can help you to learn how you too can live life on purpose, not by accident.
Good day and welcome to Give a Heck. On today's show, I welcome Brandon Barnum. Brandon, often referred to as the King of Referrals, is an award-winning serial entrepreneur, coach, consultant, speaker, trainer, and workshop leader. He serves as the CEO of HOA.com, the number one referral network for home service professionals, and as a chairman of the board of Champions Institute. He is a highly sought-after expert in referrals, marketing, sales, joint ventures, business development, and business growth strategies. After learning the bank sales methodology, Brandon helped launch and served as the CEO of Codebreaker Technology, building Codebreaker AI, the world's first personality-based AI for sales. He now helps businesses close more sales in less time, training the bank sales methodology through his training and coaching company, the Champions Institute. Brandon has been featured internationally on TV, radio, several books, including Cracking the Millionaire Code and Zero to Hero, and in magazines, including the Wall Street Journal, Business Journal, and Newsweek, to name a few. Brandon is passionate about empowering business owners and professionals with a step-by-step system for attracting profitable prospects and expanding their income, influence, and impact. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Brandon. Thanks so much for agreeing to come on and share with us some of your life journey.
Oh, thanks, Dwight. Happy to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. This is going to be a great conversation. Buckle up, listeners and viewers. You're in for a treat. After researching and reading up on Brandon last night, he has got a plethora of information in regards to something that many entrepreneurs struggle with, and that's referral-based marketing, which is still the most powerful thing in the world today. So I look forward to learning more information myself from my own entrepreneurship, my own business of 21 years. Because you know what? At the end of the day, when we think that we know it all, we're dead. We're in a cab situation in our life. I believe everybody can teach everybody something, right? We all have our uniqueness and greatness. And I believe Brandon is going to be doing that for us today, is sharing his unique perspective and talents that he's utilized to help so many people in the world today. So Brandon, please tell me your origin story and what key things from your childhood to adulthood that led you to where you're at currently.
Well, it's a great question, Dwight. So thanks for asking that. You know, when I was a kid, I was a little different than the other kids because I would watch infomercials. I remember at 12 years old, taking a bus to go to a hotel to see a tax lien certificate conference and seminar. So, you know, everybody else was playing with toys or whatever, and I was wanting to be an entrepreneur. So it was just always wired in me. Now, fast forward, I ended up getting a degree in marketing. Right after college, I was working as a marketing director for an estate planning law firm. And then I got custody of my 2-year-old son. I found out in college, you don't have to be married to have a kid. And at 22, I had a son. And at 24, I had full custody. And that's when my life really changed, because I was only making 20 grand a year at that point. This is back in, you know, the mid-90s, and wasn't making a whole lot of money. And now all of a sudden I had a mortgage payment, and I also had to pay for daycare, and I couldn't do both. And the reason I found out is because the mortgage company kept sending my checks back with three little letters that said NSF, which means insufficient funds. Basically, my check bounced, and I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I've got to do something different. So I ended up getting into the mortgage industry, and I had somebody mentor me in what I now call raving referrals, and was able to 10X my income from $20,000 to $200,000 a year over 18 months. And ever since then, I've been on a mission to empower as many people as possible to help them get that financial freedom they desire and deserve.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, it's so interesting where people's origins starting, right? At a young person, even myself, I was destined to be an entrepreneur. My dad was an entrepreneur as well. But, you know, the things that we do that people look at and they judge us, adults, like, what are you doing? Or other kids, they don't understand. Yet, we are targeted in our mindset. This is what interests us. And we may not understand all the logistics of it. Obviously, at that young age, you're going to watching infomercials and going to a class like you were talking about, that conference. It was probably an interesting circumstance. You remember much about that? Were people asking questions or judging you?
You know, I don't remember that part. I just remember it was about an hour-long bus ride to get clear on the other side of town to go into this hotel room and hear this guy talk about tax lien certificates. And I was definitely an anomaly, because I wasn't there with anybody else. I mean, I'm a 12-year-old boy sitting in a conference room because I had heard this offer on TV about how you can make money in real estate, and I wanted to learn more. So that's what I remember. That's what stood out to me, is that memory of just being drawn to, being called to that world of entrepreneurism at a very young age. And it's just part of my DNA. It's who God created me to be. So I own it.
Yeah, that's good. That's the biggest thing that people listening or watching, own your stuff, right? Own who you are. Good, bad, or ugly, or indifferent, and know that it's never too late to take that first baby step in your life and move forward. Whether it was being a young 12-year-old like Brandon, or you're a 40-year-old listening to this, or a 50-year-old, you can always change. You can always find your calling. You just got to be willing to listen, right? Listen to what's going on around you. Be very cognizant of what life can offer you still.
Absolutely, Dwight. And you know, I always say that life makes sense in the rearview mirror, right? When you're going through, you're not always sure what's happening. When you look back, you're like, oh, now I get it. It's all connected. And I remember my first referral experience. In fact, I write about this in my Raving Referrals book. But I was a teenager. I was 15 years old, and that Columbia House Records and Tapes, I don't know if you remember that, you could get
13
for one penny, right?
Yeah.
Well, I did that. That was cool. But what was also cool is they had this referral program, and that's not what they called it. But for every person you got to sign up, you got four free albums. And so I got 12 people to sign up. I had 48 free albums. And so I had like this whole music encyclopedia back when, you know, most kids my age could only afford one or two per month. I had like everything. And so that was my first experience with referrals. I got rewarded by spreading the good news, and that stuck with me. And as I look back in the rearview mirror, I'm like, wow, I got that lesson early on in my life.
Oh yeah, I do remember Columbia House. I was a member of it. And then when I first joined it, I was very young, and they didn't check anything. I was maybe 13, had a paper out, and all of a sudden, okay, I still got to fulfill and buy four CDs or whatever the number was after you got your free ones. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I can go to the local, you know, Walmart and get it cheaper, right? But it is what it is. It's still overall, it was cheaper to buy it through Columbia anyway. You know, crunching numbers, you got all these free CDs, you pay like whatever they were charging, $20, let's say, for a CD, and you got to buy four. It was still a great adventure. So I like hearing that. I don't remember referring people probably because I didn't really grasp that, but good for you. Lots of free music.
So for those listeners right now that are going, what are these things called tapes and CDs these people are talking about? There was a day ages ago where you didn't have the entire music encyclopedia of every song ever made on the planet in your phone at all times. In fact, the only way you got to listen to a song is you had to pay for it. You had to buy not just one, you had to buy like 10 songs on the album in order to get your favorite song. So it's fun seeing how the world has evolved, isn't it, Dwight?
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I joined Columbia, it was cassette tapes. And then it gravitated to CDs because I stayed with it for years because I understood the value of the money that you were paying and what you were getting. And it was just sometimes it was easier because I'd select what I wanted and they'd ship it to me and it would come to the door. It was like the Amazon of today, right?
That's right.
It just made it easier. So those listening, it's not a new new concept for things to come to your door, right? They used to deliver milk and cheese and butter to your door too. Can you believe that, listeners? I remember growing up that way. And then even when I first got married, they still did it, right? We had a specific delivery date, get milk and cheese and butter. And then they started adding things. You could get bacon and stuff. And they bring it in this little cooler, like this styrofoam cooler, and it would be sitting up on the step. You didn't even have to. It's just amazing today what people don't realize existed, right? Yes, you have all these food delivery services, but guess what? They existed back in the 1800s. People used to be able to get milk delivered to their door, right? It's been around for a long time, service to the end user, right? Business, B2C business. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is back to, you mentioned it, obviously, with the referral stuff. I know a lot of people, including myself and my own business, client referrals have been the lifeblood. That was the form of marketing through word of mouth that I got from my clientele and have for the last 21 years. And even in my prior business, I own a computer consulting business as a serial entrepreneur and, you know, get a lot of word of mouth referrals and don't do a lot of marketing in regards outside of that. I didn't have to do Google ads. I didn't have to have a website. I just constantly got referrals. And I've seen though through the pandemic, a lot of that dry up, not just for myself, for my business clients and even, you know, that I have, and it hurt. So where is the fine line between worrying about referrals and still doing the traditional marketing of radio, you know, TV flyers going into the mailbox and putting in inserts into the newspaper? Where's the fine line between, is it better to just constantly stay focused on referrals and the processes that you've developed, or is it good to do a mix of both?
Well, I'm always a fan of referrals. That's what I teach. It's what I live by. And it's what changed my life. So it's what I try and help others with. But I think both is a healthy mix. It really depends on your business model and where you're at and how many clients and customers you need to have a thriving company. So what we know is that in the B2B space, 84% of all B2B sales start with a referral. So if you sell to businesses, you are much better off building your referral business, your connections, your network, and partnering with people that are serving business owners every day. Because otherwise, it's a tough road to hoe. Now, if you're in the B2C space and you serve consumers or homeowners, then it just depends on what that mix is. Personally, my experience is that I treat lead like a four-letter word. I don't want a lead from an ad. I want somebody that knows me, likes me, trusts me to recommend me to somebody else that knows, likes, and trusts them. The reason for that is that overall, referred clients convert 400% more often. They're 400% more likely to hire you for their services, and they're more profitable. Referred clients are 16% more profitable overall because the trust factor is so much higher that they'll buy from you faster, they'll buy from you more often, they'll spend more money with you, and they'll refer you others. So there's really no comparison in my mind, but for some businesses, they need a mix of both.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know myself, I've had clients where they were referred to me, I helped them out. They didn't really know me. We became friends and 6-8 referrals later, right? referral-based marketing is phenomenal, right? The problem is I don't understand enough, and that's obviously your forte and your expertise. What would you say was the biggest, if somebody that's listening doesn't get a lot of referrals, so they get a few referrals, what is the biggest hurdle for them to get set up in regards to using referral-based marketing to communicate with their current clientele to get referrals? Or like, what would be the biggest hurdle for people that are listening that have never had that kick and knowing what a referral-based system can work like?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Ivan Meisner, who's the guy who started BNI, he says 98% of businesses rely on referrals, but only 3% of people have a system for referrals. And that's what I find to be most true. What I would say is that a lot of people don't ask for referrals. They don't feel comfortable asking for referrals. They don't want to make their clients feel uncomfortable. So we teach the art of the ask, and it's a way that you feel comfortable and everybody else does too. So let's unpack that, and then we can talk about some other strategies.
Sure, that'd be great.
With the art of the ask, there's three steps. Number one, you're going to set the stage. Number two, you're going to listen for the referral triggers. And then number three, you're going to ASK to GET. So let's unpack those. Setting the stage, step number one, is when you first have a client that's decided to hire you to do business with you. Before you let them out of your office or off Zoom or off the phone, before you let them go, once they've hired you, you want to say to them, before I let you go, would it be okay if I ask you for a favor? They'll either say yes or maybe tell me more. And then what you want to say is, look, I'm so committed to wowing you with our service that I'd like to ask you if it would be okay to ask for a referral once we've proven ourselves to you. Would that be okay? And that's setting the stage, because you're basically saying, we're going to do a great job for you. And when we do, we'd like to earn the right to ask you for a referral. You're not putting them on the spot. You're not making them feel uncomfortable. In fact, you're doubling down on your service pledge, right? So every 100% of people say yes to that, okay? That's step one, setting the stage. Now, you start serving them. You provide your product, your service, whatever it is that you do, you need to be doing that with excellence, because your whole goal is to create that wow moment. Because now step two is you're listening for referral triggers. And you can remember step two because you have two ears and one mouth, right? So you're listening with both ears. And now you're listening for an expression of appreciation. Ideally, they say, wow, Dwight, this is so awesome. You've helped me make so much money, save so much time. I look better, feel better, whatever it is that you deliver. Okay, that's listening for those referral triggers. Once you hear them, now we're in step three, which is to ASK to GET. So when you hear that expression of appreciation, thank you, I love it, this is awesome, you're amazing, anything like that, what you want to say is, I'm so glad you feel that way. If you remember when we first started working together, I told you I was going to wow you with our service. And now that you've experienced it for yourself, I'd love to see if you have anybody that we can help, because we love helping people like you get this type of a result, right? So you're not selling them on anything. You're offering to serve them and the people that they care about. And now that they've had that experience with your service directly, they can recommend and refer you with confidence.
Wow. Yeah, it is simple, yet it's complicated, because it's the 6 inches between our ears that stop us from having the confidence to do what you're talking about. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah.
Right. I would. And I'd say some people need to practice it with their business partner, with their staff. Now, we also teach to automate the ask, because some people don't do it every single time, right? So you want to have a system that helps automate that ask. Maybe that's having a referral card or a kit that you give your clients that they can give to others, right? Maybe it's a gift certificate that helps the people that they give to save some money, and maybe there's even a reward for them for referring that client to you. So there's a lot that you can do to automate the ask. You can add a referral request in your email signature. You can add it into your invoices, to your newsletter, whatever it is that you communicate with your client. When you integrate the referral request into what you do and just frame it that way, we love helping these type of people get this type of a result. Now you're serving, not selling, and you're really offering to help.
Yeah, I like that. So it's, again, one of the things you said is practice. I remember first getting into the finance industry 21 years ago and having people say, well, get to the next person, get to the next person. Well, are you serving the current person properly? And are you making sure that you can talk to them about your talents and treasures throughout the process? They may see that you can do, like, you knock it out of the park, but you never ever tell them that you want to share it with others. Is your energy, your tonality, like, I love what I'm doing. Thank you so much, Brandon, for saying that you appreciate me. Remember, I asked you this prior, right? Work, right. You know, let's help one another out. Can you help me now that I've helped you, or whatever the case, just practicing. I used to always preface when I'd be sitting with a client and I'd first educate them, and my listeners have never heard this before, but I'll sit with them and I work, and I stopped doing it. I don't know why. And part of that reason it's triggered in my mindset, as you said, well, you should have a system in place, because not to forget, I just got lazy and I stopped asking. But I used to ask clients, it'd be the first appointment, we'd just be visiting and talking. And I'd say, well, you know what? I have a question for you. If what I can do for you will help your life in every which way and form, based on what I talked about, that I help people learn how to live better today, retire in comfort, and pass with dignity, would there be any reason why you wouldn't utilize my services in the future if I can prove myself? And every single time, well, absolutely. If you can prove yourself, I'll refer you. And that's how I used to always end my first appointments, whether it was right or wrong, it worked. All right. I just kept it very, and normally back in those days, like back in 2002, when I got started, I was face to face, but a lot of my calls now are over Zoom, which, if those listening and watching, you can still be effective over Zoom, right? Or whatever you use as a video platform. So I like how you put that. I realized recently how much I had stopped doing that. And I've brought new clients on in the last few months and never asked for the referral. And then I wonder why the referral source was dried up. Well, it's because I got used to getting it without asking for it. It just happened. Well, now the pandemic's hit and I need to get re-engaged. So thank you.
Well, and it's ASK to GET. That was actually taught to me by my mentor, Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote all those.
Oh, chickens. I love Mark.
Yeah. We were just texting yesterday. He's owners of HOA.com. He spoke at a Christian event that we did 2 weeks ago, and he's an awesome guy. So he taught me this May will be 20 years that we've been friends and he's been mentoring me. And so he taught me long ago, ASK to GET. That's the reason I claim it that way, is because that's how Mark taught it to me. He's like, if you want to get more out of life, you got to ask more.
Like, our conversation is amazing. I can't imagine what kind of a conversation it would be having it with Mark, like with just his experience. Not to say, like I said, your conversation with me right now is fantastic, but he's just, from reading his books, listening to his books and stuff, like, what a talented individual. What a people person, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Good for you for being friends with them that long. I can imagine that it works both ways, though. Like, I don't put Mark on a pedestal. I put put the knowledge that he shared with humankind, with mankind, on a pedestal, because it has been so helpful, you know, in regards to how many people he's been able to help. And obviously, 20 years friends with him, that you have a synergy where you've been able to bounce things off of him and he bounced stuff off of you. And that's that networking connection that people don't take seriously enough, in my
opinion. It was huge. I was just on the call with a CEO earlier today that Mark had introduced me to, and somebody that's got a security platform for communities. And so it may be a perfect fit for what we're doing with HOA.com. But that was a direct referral from Mark Victor Hansen. And quite frankly, Mark was a referral from a financial advisor that I went to church with 20 years ago. I was serving with a Christian nonprofit called Northwest Medical Teams, kind of like Doctors Without Borders. And I was on their corporate industry council, helping raise money and awareness. And I'm in my early 30s at this point, but I had my own mortgage company and I had gotten involved, and they had asked me to help find the speaker for their annual big luncheon. That was their number one fundraiser. And I knew someone who knew Mark. So I asked Al Sizer if there's any way that Mark might be available. And he said, let me check. And he checked with Mark, and He was willing to discount his speaking fee to come do the event. He's like, look, he can't speak for free, because if he did, he'd just do charity events all the time. But I knew he was the right guy, so I covered his speaker fee with my mortgage company. I just said, I want him there. He needs to be there. And that was May 18th of 2004. So now almost 20 wow. years ago, that investment and really just giving first, right? It wasn't about me. I wasn't doing it with any selfish inclination at all. It was, I wanted, he had written the book, The 1 Minute Millionaire, The Enlightened Way to Wealth. And I wanted everybody to hear that message of doing well to do good.
Service before any form of profit is the way life should be, though. You know, that's what differentiates my practice of 21 years is I'm very much focused on the individual, figuring out their origin, what their life and money monsters have been and what's holding them back. And it very relationship driven, transactional at the end. And that transactional could be 15, 20 hours later after I've had multiple meetings with them, just to find out who they are. That know, like, and trust factor takes effort. And if you always, people listening, watching, if you're in business, or even if you're in a career, if you always approach people that is a client for who you're working for, or for your own business, you approach it as a transaction, it's very shallow if you're honest with yourself. If everything that's driven you has been money, that wears out if you're honest with yourself. Now, if you have that lifelong relationship and you can also make money, it's a win-win situation. Your product or service supports them. They support you emotionally. You support them emotionally and mentally. It's just, I love it though, but it takes work. And so many people are transactional. They just don't care.
You're investing in the relationship. And quite frankly, I learned this early on in my mortgage business. I used to earn on average $3,000 per loan that I would close. But what I quickly realized is that if I were relational and really took care of people, number one, they would do more loans with me. And number two, they would refer me to more people. So what I recognized was I stopped looking at every person as a $3,000 transaction. And I started instead looking at a $10,000 lifetime client value. I learned early on about lifetime client value. And yeah. I said, okay, what's the value of this relationship? And quite frankly, it's probably more than $10,000, but I changed in my mind from $3,000 to $10,000. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to give at least $10,000 worth of value to this relationship. And by shifting from transaction to relationship mindedness, it shifts everything for you.
Yeah, and getting out of that instant gratification mode. Like I'd smile because when you said 10,000, that's my mindset. It always has been that way. People used to ask me, and I trained hundreds of agents in my first 5 years. I got really good at what I did. I got really well recognized in North America. So I did a lot of training. And they'd say, well, what's your lifetime value of an average client? I'd say $10,000. Yeah. Well, you didn't even hesitate. I said, yeah. Well, what's your numbers? I said, I've dialed it down to this. For every 10 clients that I sit down with, some of them are potential future clients. I'm still going to give them just as much energy to help because I don't charge. I earn my business based on a commission. And 3 out of 10, so 30% of the 30% of that 100% are going to do business with me right away. And out of that 30%, one is going to give me a referral that I'm going to start this all over again. It's going to be the right. same thing. And they'll go, well, how did you figure out $10,000? Well, if I'm doing my job right and I'm listening to that person and I'm actually hearing them, not just thinking about press hard 3 copies, they are going to literally go through an evolution of, I'll help them. Maybe they're not another person that's in debt. I'll help them get out of debt, free up money so that they'll buy life insurance. They'll buy better health care. They'll start putting money aside every single month for their retirement. They'll start saving more creatively to have paid off vacations before they go on the vacation. They'll stop using lines of credit. Really, you do all that work? I said, yeah, absolutely. Time frame, I couldn't tell you. Some people, it takes months because it's hard for them to digest it. So it's a little, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So yeah, right. It's so important that we realize people are at a point in their journey of life that maybe you've traversed, you've gone past, and you need to always appreciate and be humble and understand that they need that same support that you wished you had. Maybe you had gotten out of your circumstances quicker had you been a better listener.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, as I hear you say that, it reminds me of serve, don't sell. I in the Champions Institute, we talk a lot about sales leadership, and the people come with this sales mentality, like, I've got to close somebody. Really? Close them? You mean you want to enroll them, you want to register them, you want to help them get the service that you're looking for. It's not about manipulating somebody into the decision. It's really about serving them and finding out what's the best solution for them, even if that means it's not your product or service.
Happens all the time. And I tell people, you know, again, I'm not the flavor of the day for everybody, because I do talk about I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a practicing Christian. And I talk to them about the fact that, you know, they'll say, oh, we appreciate you so much. Well, God sent me to you. Well, what do you mean? Well, I have a servant heart. I was raised that way by my own father as a business owner, serving the farming community in a small community of 10,000 people. And growing up, it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized how much my dad taught me. It was always his conversation, his communication skills were always about, how can I help you? How can I serve you? But it wasn't just words. It was the actions that went with the words. Other dealerships in the surrounding community, or even in the big city an hour away, they charge for after-hour calls to go down and get parts during harvest or to help out with things. My dad never charged. Right up to the day when he decided to retire and close his business, he never charged people. And when I was a younger teenager, got my license, he'd say, hey, go down, serve this client. I used to think, well, why don't you charge? Some of these farmers are always saying to me, you know, Dwight, why doesn't this other company charges us $85 for them just to come out?
Right.
Won't even tell us if they can help us. Your dad's always like, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's harvest season. Okay, I'll be down there. When I got older, it was, hey, Dwight, you get up and go down there.
Yeah, right.
But it was always a service. Yeah, it's a service-based business. So my dad taught me all that stuff. And I took that into my consulting business with my computer consulting firm and all the staff that I utilized, and to my finance business, which has been 21 years now. And, you know, at the end of the day, service, people just want to know. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. Like, people just don't understand that. Those listening, trust me, if you actually learn to have a servant heart, and when you're serving and working with others, and make sure they understand that you care about them, God will make sure that you're taken care of too. Right? If your whole focus in life is to make money and you're just that transactional person, I know a lot of millionaires that are like that. But as older people, their lives are shallow. They're not happy. They got all this money. They got all these toys, but yet they've lost relationships. They've lost maybe their divorce. Maybe their kids don't talk to them because they're always transactional based. Their clients don't invite them to anything. I get invited to weddings, birthdays, right? Hey, you want to come hang out? My clients become my friends. Do all of them? No, that would be unrealistic. But enough do, because I focus on what you're talking about, being that servant.
Well, and the difference is, are you focused on what you're going to get out of the relationship or what you're going to give to the relationship? When I lived in Oregon, my license plate was GIVMOR, give more. And so that's what I live by. It's just an energy, you know, it's giver's gain. And when you just come to the world with that kind of generous spirit, then much is given back to you.
Yeah, I like that. So many people just don't realize that. Like, my whole brand that I decided to create in 2020 during the pandemic is Give a Heck. Well, my last name's Heck. And I had a branding expert tell me, like, why aren't you utilizing that? That is so catchy. And then I had somebody on my podcast here lately that wrote a bestseller called Brain Glue. And he teaches people and companies how to have things that stick in your brain so that people automatically think of you. When they're stuck in whatever circumstance, whatever your service or profession is, they think of you. And he goes, when I seen you on the service and I decided to apply to be on your show, he says, I would have had the biggest smile on my face because of Give a Heck. And at that point in time, it didn't click to me that your name's right there, Dwight Heck, but it didn't click on me. He says, all I clicked on was Give a Heck. He says, like, that was so unique. And it's things like that. We need to utilize and learn from others. The person that told me to use Give a Heck was a good mentor and friend of mine. He's a very successful person out of Texas. And, you know, he gave me a bunch of different types of things that I should utilize. And I ended up solidifying it on Give a Heck just because I wanted something that would attract people to understand that, hey, this guy gives a heck, or what the heck is that? I'm going to reach out to this dude and find out. Right. So it's been working out pretty good, but I appreciate everything that you've shared thus far. One of the things that, you know, HOA is a really cool service. You know, obviously there's only so much I could read about it. Is there anything else before we go on? And I want to talk somewhat about Codebreaker AI and, sure, you know, your bank sales methodology. Is there anything else that you would want people to understand in regards to HOA.com and the referral systems that you've developed?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We started out this company as the homeowneralliance.com, and I realized at one point that domain was too long to fit on the side of a bus. So I was with my partner and said, okay, if we could wave our magic wand and have any domain on the planet, what would it be? Home Owner Alliance. So I checked out HOA.com, reached out to the owner, and through about 6 weeks of negotiation, made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And here we are today. So it's changed our focus, because in the US, HOA means homeowner association, right? We started the company with a mission of connecting homeowners to professionals they can trust. And so we're really that connection point. And what we're building is a tech platform that's kind of like Nextdoor meets Angie's List meets Zillow. So if you go to HOA.com, you can type in your address and it'll give you a valuation report of all the information about your property. And then it also has a list of trusted, vetted professionals in that area so that it's where to go to find a pro. But really on the back end, we haven't strayed from the original focus of creating a referral network of professionals who serve homeowners, right? So much like when I was in the mortgage business, I partnered with realtors, insurance agents, financial advisors, CPAs, painters, plumbers, contractors, because those people were in homes serving the homeowners. And those homeowners would say, oh, I need to refinance, or I'm thinking about selling and buying an investment property, whatever that was. And so I got a lot of my business through those other professionals. And that's what we're helping people do. We help the professionals create their trusted team and actually do business together. So they create their team of the people they know, like, and trust, and that's part of their profile on HOA.com. And then we do hyper-local social farming, so right down to the individual community, so that we can bring neighbors together again and help them know the professionals in their local area.
Wow. So how does this utilize, like, obviously this is more focused on the U.S. Do you do a lot of work outside of the U.S. in regards to helping people referral systems?
Well, so I have two different companies. With HOA.com, that is focused on the U.S. because that's where homeowners are. With Raving Referrals, we have people all over the world that go to ravingreferrals.com, or they'll buy the Raving Referrals book, or they'll take the course. And then, you know, that's really a global phenomenon. We're just about to launch our newest book, Raving Referrals for Mortgage Pros. And we're also launching a Raving Referrals certified trainer program later this month, so that people can teach and train the Raving Referral system to their local market. And it gives people the opportunity to stand on stages, use the slides and presentation materials that we've created, but it helps them attract audiences of their perfect prospects.
Wow. And that's one of the questions I was going to ask a little bit further on, but since you brought up Raving Referrals, for the people listening, Raving Referrals are a proven step-by-step system to attract profitable prospects and lifetime clients, which, you know, again, those listening and watching, most people do not understand the power of referral. It is phenomenal how well it works. Standard marketing, 1 out of 10,000 you might get, right? Because really there's no real trusted connection there. They're just seeing it in a flyer or newspaper, hearing a radio ad. Maybe they're seeing it splashed on social media. I know myself, even my marketing stuff that I have a company working on social media, like, it's amazing how many have to have eyes on it before you even get one person that engages. It's just phenomenal. Whereas referral-based stuff is so powerful. So you did explain some about the book, and in regard, you talked about your coaching program and utilizing it. How would it, give me an example of how a system like that would work in a system in an industry like mine, in finance?
Well, it's interesting. When I first went to, I came up with the concept of raving referrals back in 2011, and I did an internet search, and the only person that I found that had anything to do with raving referrals was the number one action coach in the world. And he was actually training raving referrals to financial advisors to boost their business. Now, he had 20 clients, 20 financial advisors that were paying him $50,000 a year each. So he was making $1 million a year coaching 20 financial advisors. And a big key of it was to generate more referrals from their existing clients so that they would lead to more clients. And one of the things that he taught me is a client appreciation party. Now, what he would do with his financial advisor clients is he would have the advisor do a dinner event once a year, and they would invite all of their top clients. And he'd even have some of their strategic partners invite some of their clients. He'd have 200-300 people in a room, and then they would give away amazing prizes. But in order to qualify for the prizes, you had to give referrals. So then they would do a kind of memory jogger exercise and identify different people that each of the participants knew and were willing to make an introduction to him. And every additional entry or referral that they gave them another entry into the program. And so really fun process that generated on average hundreds of referrals for that financial advisor that night.
Wow. Yeah. I'm smiling about it because I've done stuff like that. Again, I haven't done it in years. There used to be a bunch of agents we used to get together, and we'd rent a hall, and we'd get catered food in, and we'd have some presentations, and there'd be prizes, not as specific as what you're talking about, where, you know, give us a referral, get a draw. In order for them to, they'd get invited, right? We'd have a card for them to fill out. And sometimes people would put referrals down. But now when I think back, man, that would have been powerful. Hey, you want to win this TV? Give us a referral.
He went way beyond TV. He would do like a 3-day vacation at the Four Seasons. I mean, he had high-end advisors that were making good money, and this was their major event that they would do each year. And they would get hundreds of referrals, which would then fill their funnel for the rest of the year. I mean, then they just followed up with all of these client introductions that existing clients made. And it's like me calling you up and say, hey, Dwight, this is Brandon Barnum, and I'm reaching out because Fred Johnson recommended I connect with you. He's one of my clients, and he thought that I might be able to help you. Right. And so through that process, the advisors that he coached were just, I mean, they were making seven figures themselves, which is why they were able to afford to pay him $50,000.
Yeah, of course. That's right.
Because it's all about ROI. And that's kind of the beauty of referrals, is that typically there's not a lot of money spent on referrals. Now, we talked earlier, you were asking about direct marketing and whether that's TV ads, radio flyers, whatever you're doing, direct mail. You're paying money in advance. What I love about referrals, and depending on your interest, your industry, I recommend some people create a referral rewards program. You might know of it as an affiliate program. I've been teaching this. The first time I built a referral rewards program was in 1999, before Amazon even had an affiliate program. But what I recognized is by sharing a portion of the revenue that you're generating from the people that refer you, it gives them an incentive, and you only pay the marketing expense based on successful performance, meaning you won the business. Now you share some of that revenue.
Makes sense. Yeah. We used to, unfortunately, in my neck of the world in Canada, they closed down us being able to, because at one point in time I get referrals, and if business closed, right, I'd reward them, right? Had to sign a receipt showing that they were getting paid a referral fee, but they closed that down. They don't want to allow it anymore, right?
Because they have to be licensed. Right?
Yeah, it's good. Otherwise, it's an enticement. So,
That's why I say it depends on the industry. You've got to check the regulations, like in real estate, mortgage, finance, insurance, even attorneys. They can pay a referral fee, but only to another licensed professional in that industry. But quite frankly, we have a real estate referral agency. It's a licensed real estate brokerage. We don't hire any agents, We simply are able to refer clients and earn, in our case, we earn 35% of the commission that the realtor earns from the client just from creating that opportunity.
What about HOA in the sense of it being a site that was designed around financial professionals? Do they exist?
Yeah, I don't know about that. HOA, homeowner associations, all about the community.
I know. I understand the community.
Within the community, you've got financial advisors, right? If you look at each neighborhood, you've got a couple of realtors, a couple of mortgage lenders.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like they all live in those neighborhoods. But I don't know of any specific financial advisors that focus on HOAs, although they should.
Yeah, well, it is something to definitely think about. Could a person set up a system similar to HOA for the finance industry, insurance industry?
Oh, boy. Having built all the tech behind it, like I've been building tech since when I got in the mortgage business in 97, I created the first website, kind of an early version of Zillow and featured listings. Yeah. Could you do it? Sure, you could do it.
A lot of work, though.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of knowledge. Like you've got to understand how to build what we've built. But what I would say is financial advisors could focus on HOAs. Every homeowner association is run by a board of the homeowners that live in that association. In the U.S., 65% of the time, they outsource the property management to a professional property management company. But because a lot of the decisions that the board makes are financial, it would be a great idea for a financial advisor to be on the board, especially in the community that they live in.
That's a great idea. Great advice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so, and one of the things I'm always teaching is raise your expert status, right? Like you know this, but teach workshops and webinars and lunch and learns and provide your expertise in order to attract those perfect prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, doing workshops and stuff like that, it works, right? Yeah. Sometimes you're going to have a great showing. Sometimes you won't. It all depends. You just got to never quit, right? You trip, yeah, you get a boo-boo, get back up.
Whoever is called will come. You have to be detached from the outcome of who's in the room and just deliver your best, even if there's only one person there. Then you're just going to have a one-on-one conversation. But what I love doing, like I've got an event tomorrow where somebody else fills the room. I'll do a webinar to a group of 25, 30 real estate agents. I'll teach them about raving referrals. And through that process, we educate them on some of the things that we do at HOA.com that help them win more business.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. But again, I like how you said disconnect from the numbers, show up, right? So you helped launch and serve the CEO of Codebreaker Technologies, building Codebreaker AI, the world's first personality-based AI for sales. Well, there's so much AI right now, like you literally can't turn your head and there's some form of AI. Right. I was on had a conversation with a person that had me on it. He was doing a preliminary conversation about having me on his YouTube podcast, and he's broadcast around the world, and he was talking about AI, and everything's conversation now is about AI and what it can do. And I was playing around with just last night myself, ChatGPT-4, and I was just telling it, create me a picture showing this, right? And I was just playing around with it. It is absolutely phenomenal. Amazing. What AI can do. Will it be used for bad? Yes, let's be real, it will. But in the hands of good people like you and myself, right, it can be a powerful tool. So tell me how this all happened and how it integrated into your company, right? You have your company, you help businesses create more sales in less time using bank sales methodology. Just talk about all of it, how AI ties into it, and your bank sales methodology and how everything works together and how you can help people.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I didn't create it to begin with, although I was the CEO of the company and we created that AI in 2019. So it's been 5 years ago, long before ChatGPT. But basically what happened, I was running a conference in Phoenix called the Profit Partner Summit. I came off stage, got done teaching about how to help people create profitable partnerships. And a woman came up and she handed me four cards. And she introduced herself and she said, do me a favor, read the information on these cards and sort them in order of what's most like you to least like you. That will help me serve you better and save us both time. And I went, oh, that's interesting. So I read the four cards and I sorted them in order and I handed them back to her. It took me about a minute to do that. And then she said, oh, fascinating. Well, based on what you've shared with me, I see, number one, you're a people person. You're all about nurturing and relationships and community and charity. Is that right? And I'm like, uh-huh. And then she said, and secondly, you're about action. So you're about financial freedom and you don't mind the spotlight. I just come off stage. So that was clear anyway. But, you know, you're intuitive. And she was describing who I was after me spending 1 minute sorting these cards and handing them back to her. And so I was fascinated because I thought, okay, I'd studied DISC, the DISC personality system. And I went, wow, this is kind of like DISC, except I didn't have to take a 20-minute assessment online. I just sorted these cards, handed it back to her. And the book is called Why They Buy. So the creator of the program is Sherry Tree. She's amazing. And essentially at that point, I was working as the chief referral officer for a company called Refer.com. It was, I was a partner in the firm. And I had met Sherry after that event, got introduced to her, loved the program, loved the book. And then we sold Refer.com. And so I was sitting on the sidelines and Sherry said, hey, would you come over here and help us start our technology company and create this AI? And so that's what I did. I became the CEO, the first CEO of Codebreaker Technologies, and I helped build the AI and the API, which allows that technology to be extended into other technology platforms, is what an API is, for those that don't know. And what was cool is we built a Chrome extension that allowed you to crack someone's code like on a LinkedIn profile in one click in 1 second. You knew their personality code. Now, once you understood their personality, you could understand how they think and how they make decisions, including buying decisions. And so it's fascinating because when you understand how someone's wired, it's like instant empathy. And then you can really communicate and present to them in a way that saves you both time and helps them get the information they need to make a wise, informed decision.
Wow, that's powerful, you know, to be able to drill through somebody's LinkedIn profile and garner said information. Like, what powerful, you know, call to action, closing, right? It's just... That's amazing that you were able to utilize that. And it all started from her getting you to sort through cards, right?
Yeah, it's incredible. And what's also cool is with the AI, you could run your response back and the system would tell you either this email is a fit for this personality or it's not a fit. And you can adjust your email or your message. You can do the same thing with your marketing copy to make sure that your message is a match for your perfect prospect. Because you may have, and BANK is an acronym. It stands for Blueprint, Action, Nurturing, and Knowledge. And those are the four primary personality traits. And so when you understand how somebody's wired, what their natural interest is, then you can serve them better and save both time. And like a knowledge personality, they want to do all the research. You never want to push them to try and close them quickly because you'll just repel them. So instead, you feed them information. You give them all the data, the documents, the information, the research, so that they can feel comfortable. Number one, they're comfortable in you because you've done the research. Just by simply providing it to them, they feel like you know what you're talking about. Your stock rises, and they're more inclined to do business with you.
Wow. Yeah. Very powerful, all the information you're sharing. Lots for people to unpack, including myself. What would be the best way for people to find out more about this? Obviously, you're not part of that any longer, but you utilize that within your own systems, correct?
Yeah, we teach it. There's a chapter in the Raving Referrals book called Why They Buy, and we teach that at the Champions Institute. If you go to BrandonBarnum.com, which is my website, you'll be able to crack your own code. You could do it totally free. You'll basically go, you'll click on the link, you'll see the four cards, you'll drag and drop them in the order that's true for you. And then when you opt in with your email, you'll get a free report that helps you understand yourself better. And it's amazing what you learn about yourself just in the process.
Well, isn't that important, though, that we always are reflecting in and looking inside of ourselves to understand who we are, to peel back the layers of the onion, to get rid of the facade that society or our families have indoctrinated into us from when we were young, right? And it happens with every career we're at, every business we are part of or run, whether we're an employee or we're an owner, we identify through that and we really don't know who we are, right? And it sounds very powerful. Obviously, it has been for yourself and for others, and I look forward to checking it out. Again, listeners, I will make sure that it goes into the show notes so that you can, you know, check it out. Reach out to Brandon after you've gone through the assessment and continue to grow. Continue to stop being camped in your life. If you're not camped, maybe you just want to learn how to accelerate things a little bit better in your life. And I know
just to give you an example, Dwight, one of the things when I was CEO is I had a commission, a study commissioned on the impact of bank code on the real estate profession. And what we learned is that when you customize your conversations and your presentations, realtors increase their average listing closing rate by 123%. So they more than doubled their listing conversions, right? Going to list somebody's home for sale. And then on the buyer brokers representing a home buyer, they increase conversion by an average of 300%. So powerful, powerful technology. But even more than the money that you make is the difference that it makes in your life. Because when you understand the people around you, like my daughter and I were opposite codes, there was a lot of tension in our relationship until I learned bank code. And when I cracked her code and I realized we were exact opposites, now I stopped looking through my lens and I started communicating with her on her based on her personality. And it completely shifted our relationship for the better instantly.
Wow. So on that, and to go onto your website and try that assessment, it's going to be the first step for people to try.
Yeah, and you can go direct. It's knowyourcode.us is the URL, or you can go to Brandon Barnum. You'll see that in our referral score quiz and other stuff. So whatever serves you best.
That's amazing. One of the things that I did want to ask you too, we're getting close to the end of the show here, but you talked about, you know, the art of asking, and we talk about, you know, referrals, but really what is the difference between a lead and a referral? So those listening or watching know the difference. Could you please explain that?
Oh yeah. Huge. A lead is somebody that goes onto your website. They fill out a form. Maybe they respond to some piece of marketing that you do, but you don't have a relationship with them. Okay. So it's just like if you're the buyer and you see an ad on TV or in the newspaper and or on the internet and you call that person, well, you're kind of suspicious of who they are because you don't know them, right? You don't know what you can really trust about them. That's a lead. A referral is like Dwight, you saying, hey, I've talked to Brandon. I like this guy. He's somebody that you can trust. And when you refer to somebody else, you're transferring your trust to that person because 90% of humans say that they trust recommendations from people they know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Appreciate the explanation. One last thing too is you talk about decoding a sales prospect in under 90 seconds. Yeah. Obviously, you've mentioned a few things that probably are involved in that, but can you explain that? How does a person decode their sales prospect in that 90-second period?
Yeah, well, that's that bank code cards that I told you about.
So it is the cards.
But let me tell you a fun story. You're going to love this. So sure. I was about 2 months ago, I was at a tech conference. And afterwards, one of the panelists that had been speaking kind of came over. I was talking to another man and I had showed him, I pulled out the cards. I start by saying, do you want to see a magic trick? Now, everybody wants to see a magic trick. So 100% of the people I've ever said that, nobody's ever told me no, right? So I say, do you want to see a magic trick? He says, yes. I hand him the cards. He takes about a minute to decode himself, hands me the cards. I tell him who he is. And then I say, the best part about this is that normally when I meet somebody and I crack their code like this, they're thinking after usually 3 minutes, wow, he gets me. And so literally I say this to this guy, wow, he gets me, right? Right at that moment, one of the speakers, the panelist, comes over and she says, hey, I want to see a magic trick. Great. Do me a favor, read the information on these cards, right? She takes 60 seconds to sort the cards and hand them back to me. She took 30 seconds. I took 60 seconds to describe who she just told me she was. In 90 seconds of that conversation, she turns to the guy that I was just talking to, and she says, literally, quote, "He gets me." So I had just told this guy, people say he gets me. And she literally, one of the speakers, turns to him and says, "Wow, he gets me." We'd spent 90 seconds together.
And it's four cards.
Four cards. That's it.
Unbelievable.
If you think about DISC personality profiles, most of the personality profiles come down to four primary personality traits. The difference with bank code is it's about your biology, your B-U-Y-ology. Why you buy, what helps you make buying decisions. When you understand what motivates people and how to present information to them, you close more sales in less time, and they are grateful for it.
Oh my gosh, I'm grateful already, and I haven't even started the process just listening to everything that you've shared. What an amazing time this has been. I really appreciate you sharing, and I look forward to learning more about your systems and implementing some of this within my own practice, right? Because at the end of the day, having a service-based heart, I always want to do more, not less. And I always wonder, when you have that person that doesn't deal with you, why? And sometimes I'll ask them, you know, is there a reason? People aren't always going to be honest with you. Majority of the times they won't. And I wonder, did I say something wrong? Did I represent something? You know what I mean? You always have that in the back. At least I do. I have that in the back. Like, you know, I failed somebody. I failed to serve them. And what did I do wrong? You know, maybe if I had that code, I would have dealt with things differently.
It's a game changer, Dwight, because here's the reality. We naturally speak in our own code. We speak the way that we're designed to speak. And if we're talking to an opposite code, that's going to repel them. So it's like if you only speak English and now you're meeting somebody that only speaks Spanish. There's a disconnect there. So es muy importante para ti habla español para él. And then they'll understand you. And that, I mess that up, not perfect Spanish, but you get it, right? When you speak in their language, now you're able to come together instead of repel apart.
That's, you know, and the thing that popped into my mindset is, and I've had people on my show in regards to breaking that book down. One of my favorite books is The Five Love Languages. And it's not just about relationships with significant others, it's relationships with people in general, your children, those you deal with. And that's what popped into my head when you were talking about that connection. Speaking somebody's language, right, and instead of being the opposite, it's obviously going to win people over more. And to put that effort in helps me, helps them. You're serving better. To have a servant heart isn't easy. It's not hard either. It takes work, though. It's effort, right? You have to have action. You got to have a belief system that you believe in it and take the action to make that difference. And yeah, I'm floored. I so appreciate our conversation, Brandon. So last thing I want to ask you, Brandon, if you had to give our listeners, my listeners, one last closing message, what would you tell them in regards to giving a heck and never giving up?
Oh, giving a heck. I'd say be real clear on what you give a heck about, right? Mark Victor Hansen, when I first met him, he challenged me to write 101 goals. And this is what I cared about, right? And so a week later, I was in Maui with my wife, and I actually spent time on the beach every night, and I got crystal clear on what I wanted to create for my life. I wrote 338 goals. And you have to have a timeline as to when you're going to accomplish those goals. And some of those goals were pretty outlandish at that point, right? I wanted to meet Bono, and I met Bono within 6 months. I wanted Mark Victor Hansen to write about me in a book by May 28th, 2005, 1 year later. Very, very specific goal. After a few months of hanging out with Mark and meeting him, he calls me up one day and he says, "Hey, Brandon, Robert Allen and I are writing the sequel to The 1 Minute Millionaire. It's going to be called Cracking the Millionaire Code. Would it be okay if we wrote about you?" And I said, of course it would, right? That book came out May 31st, 2005. Had I not had that goal, that vision, that intention, in my mind and had written it down with a specific delivery date, then I'm not telling God, the universe, whatever you believe in, however it really works, because it's beyond my conception. But that goal came to pass and it changed my life forever. So get crystal clear on what you give a heck about. Write those goals, write at least 101 things you want to achieve, people you want to meet, places you want to go, books you want to read, whatever's important to you, whatever you give a heck about, write it down, have a specific date where you're going to accomplish it by, and you'll see magic and miracles happen in your life. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Goal setting and then putting, you know, even using the SMART principle. I talk about it in my book, people, you can Google the SMART principle. It literally will do everything that Brandon's talking about. You'll put it, it'll be specific, measurable, attainable, right? The list goes on. It'll help you make a difference in your life. And it is something that should be taught in school on how we should goal set. And what Mark told you to do, the 101 goal setting, like writing down what you want to accomplish, it can be tough. Because I've done it. I've sat and wrote and get stuck at 35 or 40. And I'm going, oh, man. I like what you said, though. If it's over a couple of days, who cares? Work on it. Get started is the secret. That's the secret sauce.
Do it every year on your birthday or at New Year's. Make it a practice to review it. I have mine printed and sitting on my desk. I can see them. I don't review them every day. I should do that better, but I know what's on that list. And, you know, I was just with my wife in Paris at the top of the Eiffel Tower and I went, victory. That was one of the things I wanted to accomplish. So amazing things happen when you get clear on what you want.
Exactly. So I so appreciate you coming on the show and sharing such actionable, fantastic information and great stories as well. You've already told people, but just to reaffirm, the best way for people to reach out to you is to go to your website, correct?
Well, if you go to brandonbarnum.com, you'll have a link to my LinkedIn profile, my calendar, my raving referral system, referral score quiz, the bank code system, all of that is in one place. So that's probably the best. If you're a professional who serves homeowner, check out hoa.com. You'll up at the top right, you'll see Become a Pro. You can come join us. It's the best referral network for professionals who serve realtors. And yeah, we're just here to serve. Want to help as many people as possible.
Right on. I'll ensure that goes into the show notes. For those new to the show, go to giveaheck.com. You go and hit the podcast part of the menu and you will see a picture of Brandon. And below that, you'll see the abbreviated show notes where you will find the links in case you missed it because you might be driving and listening to this. But, you know, I so appreciate you being on the show. Any last minute comments or words that you'd like to share?
You know, gratitude, live in gratitude. The more grateful you are for everything in life, the more fun life is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you have a bigger spring in your step when you actually live a life of gratefulness and gratitude. It is so powerful. So I appreciate that last message. So thanks for being on Give a Heck, Brandon. I appreciate your time and sharing some of your experiences so that others too can learn. It is never too late to give a heck.
Thank you for taking time out of your day and listening to Give a Heck. If you find value, I'd appreciate you sharing with your friends and family so they too can learn how to live life on purpose, not by accident. So you do not miss the next episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and please also post a review. I look forward to reading your comments. This has been Dwight Heck. If you want to check out other podcast episodes or today's show notes, please check out my website, giveaheck.com. And until next time, together let us all strive to give a heck.